when I went to La Casa for the first time. When I went there, I was kind of like surprised by the murals. They have these beautiful, beautiful murals. And they have a Frida Kahlo painting hanging on the wall. And everyone there was just doing homework or eating or talking. And it was like super, super cool.
But now, La Casa is a cramped room with gray walls. And it sounds like nothing. I was in that room for 3 hours studying for a midterm one day. And maybe two or three students come in, and maybe they stay for an hour or two, but I'm mostly alone, except for the buzz of fluorescent lights. La Casa means the house, but it doesn't feel like a home.
And this feels like Duke gave us something and took it back. It's like a step backwards. And I think that's why it hurts more, because we've already seen, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost worse. It's like
La Casa is Duke University's designated space for its Latinx student population. And in the summer of 2022, it had changed locations from the basement of the Bryan Center to a room on the floor above. On paper, it's trivial, nothing to lose sleep over. But for us, it's everything.
Right now, what we have is a large group of students that represent a minority, but that are still more than 1,000 students that need a space to feel comfortable in, as a minority group in the university, to breathe, to prepare, to plan, to enjoy, to share. And it's a place that cannot hold more than 20 or 30 people.
I interviewed Juanita Ibáñez, founder of the Port Colombia student group, for her reaction as well as her insight into the change. She was the one who opened this piece.
That same year, I was in DSG. I was a senator, and I started...
DSG stands for Duke Student Government.
And we started working on building a separate building at Duke just for multicultural groups. And then admin kind of stopped working on it. They said they didn't have the funding for it.
The Duke administration was still looking to make changes, and so they turned to architecture firm Sasaki to develop and implement changes to the Bryan Center building. According to the official Sasaki report, the change in location was a response to make La Casa more visible, since the new room has these giant glass walls. Anthony Salgado is the president of Mi Gente, which is Duke's largest Latinx organization, and he was at the front lines of communication, trying his best to advocate on behalf of the Latinx community. You heard his voice as well.
I know we were asking for visibility, but sometimes, like, it feels like with those windows being so, like, visible, like, it feels like it was done as, like, a... like an insult almost, you know what I mean? It's like when you ask for something and then someone goes like, does something excessively, like they're overdramatic about.
The report came with a message for student leaders like Anthony, signed by Mary Pat McMahon, the Vice President of Student Affairs. The note includes a line, "Your input throughout the summer has helped us with moving and furniture requests. Thank you." This feels like a slap in the face when compared to Juanita's account.
I think admin is not taking into consideration all the identity groups. They invite Mi Gente to all the meetings, but they did not invite Port Colombia. Instead, over the summer, when students weren't at Duke to advocate for themselves, they made huge changes on spaces in the BC.
It felt like Duke admin were trying to diminish the importance of La Casa by implying that only one Latinx student group used it, leaving several others out of the room where the decisions were made. And it wasn't just the students either. Dr. Miguel Sotelo is a professor of visual studies and cultural theory with a focus on the migrant experience. He had this to say.
I wasn't really informed or invited to participate in any of the changes that took place in the past year. I feel now a little betrayed, I can say, because I was a part, in a sense, of the construction of that space, on the celebration of acquiring that space for a multicultural purpose and to have a space for Hispanic, Latino, and Latinx students, faculty, staff here.
The Sasaki report said that they assessed the Bryan Center's needs through stakeholder interviews with students, staff, and faculty. But if so many Latinx students and teachers were left out, then...
the questions that I have now are connected to who makes these decisions and based on what, if they don't follow the recommendations of our report. And this is
who are these stakeholders? Who is really in that room? The message ends with, "We look forward to seeing you make your new spaces your own." With hindsight, it reads like, "We're taking your space, now go and rebuild from the ground up." Speaking in physical terms, we lost a lot. The Sasaki report states that many students cited the student affinity spaces, such as La Casa, to be the most welcoming on campus, and that space for student groups is a priority. So tell me why we lost nearly 300 feet of square footage in the change. If that somehow doesn't seem unjust to you, La Casa is actually sharing this space with BASE, the allocated space for Asian and Asian American students. So that square footage is further cut in half. Duke has stuffed two identity groups into a space less than what one of them had occupied before.
Like the fact that there's like no curtains, we don't have a fridge anymore, so like a lot of off-campus students would sometimes put food in La Casa for them to like be able to reach that, you know, and now that's not an option. Or like sometimes when we'd have food left over from events, we put it in there, like especially with how food points are this semester. Like it's like a lot of little stuff you don't think about. As President Mianta, we lost a programming space. And in this move, they would told us we would get more programming space. So when we have events and stuff, we can't just be like, hey, come to La Casa. Now we have to like make plans to like put it somewhere. You know what I mean?
But emotionally, we were devastated.
So I went to the first floor to the old La Casa. It's like closed off. It's dark all the time. It's like the murals are still there, which makes it even worse because you know that they're in a space that's not theirs. It was the only space that we had to allocate. Anthony tried to make it work. He's mi gente president right now. He tried to make it as cozy as he could, but it's completely different.
I also felt like, because I'm president of mi gente, you know, that comes with power, that comes with responsibility, not like to be Spider-Man, but like I felt like I failed. Like I literally had like a mental breakdown. Like I was literally like, am I doing so poorly that students don't want to use this space? Like what culture have I created in just the, you know, month or weeks, you know, that I've been president? Like I felt like it was my fault.
How can one possibly think this was the right choice when these are the testimonies from the students, the ones most affected by it, the ones Duke is supposed to be upholding and supporting in every way? It's not just a room. It's a symbol for how Duke views its Latinx population. And what that means for our future is dark. It's really, really dark. On some levels, it feels like this is what Duke really thinks of us.
We just celebrated an exhibition at, you know, the Perkins Library about the history of Latino students at Duke. I mean, we are celebrating that. We are seeing demographic changes taking place across the south of the United States in an incredible way. We see and suddenly there are like back steps.
Like sometimes for me, just being here, I feel like tokenized. I feel like I've been put like on like a picture. Like I'm just like, I'm just an ad for them. And you know, that's how I really feel. Like
I don't think they're listening to our demands. I think they're just finding loopholes to say that they're listening to us, but they're really not.
It's hard not to see the undertones of identity and race in this situation.
How do you, like, as a staff of the Career Center, especially since the director of the Career Center is a white man, how do you walk into that space with those murals and not feel bad about yourself every day or not apologize? That's colonization.
And if they're not listening to us for this, what happens when we really, really need them? We're living in a time where support and space for student identity groups is needed now more than ever, while we have seen no evidence of real change. Between 2018 and 2020, there were 4 incidents of swastikas appearing on Duke grounds. In 2018, someone scrawled the N-word into the name of the Mary Lou Williams Center, over the word black in the line, Center for Black Culture. That same semester, Mi Gente had painted a mural for Latinx History Month on the East Campus Tunnel, and less than 24 hours later, it had been defaced. Just this spring, Alpha Delta Phi hosted a party with the caption, "Need help crossing the border? Lucky for you, AdFi is a few too many Latinos who are extremely skilled at invading law enforcement. Join us in this location. Just don't get deported. This invitation rings with the echoes of ghosts. In 2002, Sigma Chi hosted a Viva Mexico party with the same offensive stereotypes and the same racist jokes. 20 years later, and no change. Dr. Sotelo offers some context to this behavior, and he relates it to the pandemic.
Universities and institutions of higher education are in crisis mode. Then they can erase, close, move, re-engineer things, splitting their spaces without due process. Operations like Duke are always looking at the financial models. These preemptive actions go uncaught the peripheries, right? Or what seems peripheric. You know, less representation, less historical participation, you know, something that can be swept under the rug. I was here in 2008, 9, 10, when the last big recession came, and it was more or less the same.
It's scary, honestly. It's really scary.
I think administration has created this culture where, like, anyone thinks that they can get away with anything. Duke has created a culture where, like, I feel scared. Like, I feel scared to tell Duke administrators how I feel, because I know it's just going to go to the advisors, and then it's just going to go to, like, Mijenta as a group, and then it's going to be like, why is Mijenta doing this? Mijenta's too political. You're supposed to be a social org. You know, stop talking.
So, what can we do? A space like La Casa is just one on a list of several demands that Latinx students have pushed in front of Duke admin's face time and time again. From hiring more Latinx faculty and financial aid staff, to upgrading Latino studies in the Global South to be an official major, minor, and certificate, we've been fighting for these demands for over a decade. We're used to this, and we have no plans of slowing down. In the meantime, we find solace in our own community and our allies. I feel proud to be part of a group with such a strong history of resilience in the face of disappointment and betrayal. I spread this story in hopes of inspiring others, future generations, to join in and keep up the good fight. I know with each new class is a new set of faces and minds to sign the petitions, raise the signs, do everything they can to be in that room where the shots are called.
I think Duke also just, like, waits for its students to graduate and thinks that students won't, like, tell each other these stories. But the thing is, we have such rich, like, oral history just amongst us as students that, like, we're not going to forget. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to forget La Casa, no matter how much they want us to.
Because you carry a big burden of being the minority population, being Latinos, have a double burden, and you have to do well. And I think it's unfair that you have to put on top of everything, on your academic performance, on your experience as a young people in college, right? Something like this. But thank you for doing it, and try to find allies.
Another thing is, when you're ready to go to those the places that belong to you, like, just step into them with pride. You know, like, La Casa may be, like, not as great as it used to be, but when you step into that room, know that that room is for you, and no one's going to take that away. If La Casa comes, like, becomes a closet next year, like, that's our closet. You know what I mean? Like, if La Casa becomes a chair in BC, that's our chair. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to stop.
We will make that house our home.